talking about something by yourself.
All glory be to Christ.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive.
I would say turn to the book of Amos, but you may need to find it first. It may not be a well-worn path in your Bible. It's amongst some smaller books. In fact, if you go to the next slide, Sam, and kids, I would really encourage you pull out your Bible and find Amos in your Bible. And this is one of the areas where a digital Bible falls flat, okay? Because the digital Bible, all you have to do is find the words and press on it, but in your regular Bible, you actually have to open it too. And there it is. It's a little green book. It's not green in your Bible, but it's right there. And it's part of the minor prophets. There's two sections of prophets, major prophets and minor prophets. And someone may say, well, that's because the major ones are important, but the minor ones, not so much. They're just of less importance, but really has nothing to do with their importance. It has everything to do with their size. In fact, the 12 books there, the minor prophets in the Jewish system is called the 12, because they all fit on one scroll. And that's why they are all put together. Amos is actually one of the bigger minor prophets. And we're going to spend several Sundays looking at Amos. And I think there's a lot of really good, applicable material for us in here. Hopefully you found Amos by now. Now I have to take a moment and find it. I've been reading through the minor prophets in my own personal reading. And the minor prophets so often are neglected. They're little books that aren't read, studied, or looked at, but there's a lot in them. And I just want to open up a world to us looking at the book of Amos. Maybe you know nothing about it, and you're like, whoa, this is going to be interesting. It's going to be brand new material for you. Maybe you know everything about Amos. Maybe you've memorized Amos, and you're going to help me learn some things. But we'll go on a journey together to see what God will have for us. Let me pray and ask God to help us and the Holy Spirit as well. Father, we thank you for your word. It is precious and holy. You have given it to us, Father, not just to keep on a shelf, but to hide in our hearts, to learn, to study, to memorize, to meditate on. And not just certain books have you given to us, like Psalms and John and Revelation, but you have given us the entire word. Your 66 books, Father, that all scripture, you have given it to us, and it is profitable. And I pray today that you would show us that as we look at the book of Amos. I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to understand, even though this is many years removed from us, we are going to see things that are very similar to what we see in our culture and our world. And we see a man this morning by the name of Amos, who stands up to an ungodly world, a secular culture. That is the very thing that you are calling us to do. May we be that light that you have commissioned us to be in the dark world that is around us. Make us bold and brave. Help us, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are in the book of Amos. Let me give you a few details about Amos. There's 9 chapters in Amos, and it's mostly concerning the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, let me give you a little details about that. You have probably heard of a king by the name of David. King David. Everybody here, can you raise your hand if you've heard of King David? All right, so that's about 3/4 of you, all right? The rest of you have never heard of King David, okay? David and Goliath. Man, you're missing out, okay? The rest of you should read your Bible. It's good stuff, okay? King David, we know a lot about King David. He had a son by the name of Solomon. Solomon was very heavy on the people as far as taxation. He demanded a lot from the people. He built a ton of stuff. When he died, his son, named Rehoboam, was sitting on the throne. And as his throne was beginning, as his kingship was beginning, counselors came to him and said, listen, be easy on the people, reduce the taxes, be kind to them, and they'll follow you. And Rehoboam was like, nothing doing. You thought Solomon was bad? I'm going to be way worse than that. And so because of that, and this was all within the plan of God, because of that, there was a man by the name of Jeroboam that led 10 tribes, the north, and they built a kingdom. They established a place in Shechem, and eventually they would establish their capital in Samaria. And this would be called the Northern Kingdom. That split about 930 BC. Okay, so that's a long time ago. 930 BC, there was this split between the north and the south. In fact, here's another picture that will show you a little bit of the dividing between the north and the south. I know that type's getting kind of small, but the green is going to be the north. That other color, my kids think I'm colorblind, so I don't know what color that is. So that other color is the south. I would say brown-ish. Kids would probably say an orange. They'd probably say red or pink. I don't know. It's that color, Southern Kingdom. So that was the Southern Kingdom. A lot of times it was called Judah after it split, and the Northern Kingdom would be called Israel after they split. So you have to understand that about 930 moving on, have that in your mentality. This prophet is going to deal mostly with the Northern Kingdom. And in fact, this morning, you can go back just real quick. In this morning, there's a, down here at the border, there's a city called Bethel. And at the border at the north, there's a city by the name of Dan. Jeroboam the first knew that the southern part, the southern kingdom, had in Jerusalem the temple. People were used to going to the temple to worship. He knew that the northern people would go to the temple to worship if he didn't do something. So he devised a plan. And Jeroboam was extremely wicked, horribly wicked. But the plan he devised is that he would set up worship places in the northern part of the north kingdom and the southern parts of the north kingdom in two cities by the name of Dan and the name of Bethel. And in those places of worship, he made golden calves. Does that sound familiar? Right? They tried that once before and it didn't work out so well, you know? Drinking water wasn't quite the same after that experience. But he set up this golden calf in the south, in this Bethel. And that's where people in the north were coming to worship. And really, for many, many years, until their captivity, they were really pagan up there in the north. They worshiped God in name, but they worshiped a lot of other gods. They followed a lot of other idols. So when we're talking about Amos and who he's working with mostly the northern kingdom. And this morning, we'll see a little bit about Bethel, so you know a little bit about that. The northern kingdom, and this Amos mostly has to do with judgment on the northern kingdom. God is going to punish them. God is going to punish them. Not only the northern kingdom, but other sinful nations. There's a lot we could talk about in Amos, and one of the messages that we probably won't get to is how God deals with sinful nations. You know, I was thinking about this this past week, and we look at the Old Testament, and we see a God who is full of, it seems like, vengeance and anger and wrath, and he's just crushing people and destroying people. And then people look at the New Testament and say, there's a God of love. Almost as if there's two different gods. Well, you know that there's not two different gods. He's the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. But what's interesting is the Old Testament, we have thousands of years. You have many nations, empires that rise and fall in the Old Testament. When you get to the New Testament, you don't have very much time. 30, 40, 50 years. Comparatively, not a lot of time. We see a little bit happening with nations and so on and so forth. But in the Old Testament, we're able to observe nations that rise up and in their years sin against God, and then finally God brings down punishment. And that's what we're going to see from the northern kingdom, is that for 200 years, they go on in their sin. In fact, 762 is probably when Amos brought his message. 170-ish years after they've started the Northern Kingdom, he finally brings this message that God's going to judge you, and then it's not going to happen until 722. God is a patient God, but he knows what is going on in the nations, and he will judge. Do not mistake the mercy of God, thinking that God is missing what's going on. He will judge sin. He will judge sinful nations. And that's one of those things that should cause us to pause and be concerned. Because we are a sinful nation. We are a sinful nation. How long will God be merciful with America? I don't know. We should be like Daniel, praying for our country, asking for forgiveness. We should be working as we can within our country. God is going to deal with the Northern Kingdom and other sinful nations, but also at the end of Amos, he's going to remind Israel of the precious promises that God has given to them, their future restoration. So I'm looking forward to Amos and what we're going to find out about it, but this morning, you found Amos, right? I gave you like 10 minutes to find Amos. You found it, right? If you didn't find it by now, you know, just give up and just go home and find it later. Amos 1:1, you can turn to Amos 1:1, the very start of it. And I just want to talk to you about a man named Amos this morning. I want you to look at this man. We find some things out about him in this first verse. Verse 1, it says, "The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, when he saw, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake." And he said, "The Lord roars from Zion. He utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment." And it keeps on going. We see at the very beginning that when Amos is coming to these people, he is coming to these people with words. He is coming to these people with visions. And in fact, if you were to split up Amos, the first 6 chapters deal with the words of Amos, and the last 3 chapters deal with the visions of Amos. So you could kind of split it up that way. But where did he get these words? Where did he get these visions? Are these things he's just conjuring up on his own? Are these things he just felt in his gut and he just had to get them out? Where do these words come from? These are words that are from the Lord. Verse 3, it says, "Thus says the Lord." Verse 6 says, "Thus says the Lord." Verse 9, "Thus says the Lord." And when you get to the visions in Amos 7:1, it says, "The Lord showed me." These are things that have been revealed to Amos from God himself. These are not Amos's words, they're God's words. Amos is the prophet, the messenger, bringing the words of God to the people. There's a couple good doctrines in here. One is the doctrine of revelation. God reveals himself to us. God is revealing himself, his judgments to the people through Amos. But then also we have the understanding of inspiration. We talk about inspiration. There's a verse in 2 Peter that deals with inspiration, chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, and it says this: "We have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture," we could say the book of Amos, part of the prophecy of Scripture, "is of any private interpretation or private understanding." This wasn't, once again, this isn't Amos figuring this out and saying, "Hey, this is a good idea. We should talk about this. These are my words." It's not a private interpretation. "No prophecy ever came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." That moved, there's another word in Acts 27, verse 15, which talks about a boat and their sails and the wind moving the boat as it breathes into the sails. That's the idea of inspiration. You have God is revealing his word to men, and the Holy Spirit is working in them to have them write the Word of God. So we have the very words that God wanted us to have. The message that Amos is bringing is not his own message. It's God's message. And this book that we have in front of us, this is not my book. I did not write this. If I wrote this book, it'd be a lot shorter. Okay? This is not my book. This is not the Baptist denomination's book. This is not the church's book. This is God's book. This is God's message. This is his word. This is what he has given to us. And you know what? I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but it doesn't really matter whether you how you receive it or what you think about it. Oh, I think that's just a myth. It doesn't change the truth of what it is. This is God's word he has given to us. This is the message he has given to us, and this is the message that the world needs. There's a lot of messages on social media these days. There's a lot of messages going out about this, this, and this, and that. But Christian, let me tell you, the message that the world needs is Jesus Christ. And that's the message we need to be sharing. And so you have a man by the name of Amos, and a man who brought a message from God. But then I want to show you something else about Amos. This is going to be encouraging, I think, to you. Here's the second point. He's a common man who brought a message from God. He's a common man. There's nothing special about Amos. In chapter 1, verse 1, we find that he is, your Bible might say shepherd. It might say a herdsman. It might say a sheep breeder. It's actually a different, more of a rare word for a shepherd that has the idea that he's more of a herdsman, a sheep breeder. This is who he is. He's just a shepherd. He's just a common guy herding sheep. But then go to Amos chapter 7. Amos 7, 14. And he's answering Amaziah, and we'll get to the story in just a minute. But he says, this is Amos answering, he says, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet. I was a sheep breeder. There's our word again. I was a tender of sycamore fruit. He'd worked with figs. I was, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. That has the idea of a shepherd or a person who watched over goats or maybe even cows. So he's just a shepherd. He's just a rancher. He's just an orchardist. Nobody special, just a common man. He's a common man, a regular guy who heard the command from God and obeyed. Look at verse 15. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go. Prophesy to my people Israel. Just a regular, common guy. And the Lord comes to him and says, go. And you know what Amos is going to do? Oh, I can't go. I'm just a shepherd. Not me. I can't do it. He obeys and he goes. I wish more Christians would do that. Do you know that we've been given a command to go? I think it's actually in the Bible. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. As the Lord Jesus is ending with his disciples before his ascension, he gives them what we call the Great Commission. And this is something that they were to learn as disciples of Jesus and to teach further disciples of Jesus. And guess what we are? We're disciples of Jesus. Somebody said it. Good job. Everybody should have said it. We're disciples of Jesus. And so look at this. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What's the next word? What? What? Go. That's the same word that God gave to Amos. Go. That's our word too. Go. Therefore, I make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm so thankful for that, because going is scary. But God is with us. He won't leave us. He walks beside us. Here's just a common man, and God says to him, go. And he does something radical. He obeys God. And he goes. We are just common people. There's nothing really special about us. But we've been given a command. Go. I want to suggest to you something this morning, that we should do something radical. Just absolutely off the charts. You ready for this? I think we should obey God in this. We should go and make disciples. We should go be the light. We should go share the gospel. Go, 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 go. You can't do it sitting home on your couch. Well, God, if they come to me, I'll share the gospel with them. It doesn't say, therefore wait until they come to you and make them disciples. Go. There's a lost and dying world out there that needs Jesus Christ. Go. I'm nothing special. Well, you actually are something special, because if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and that's everything you need. And you've got this book in front of you. Go. He brings a message. He brings a message. A common man who brought a message from God. But then there's this one last part I want you to see. And we'll read more of the story here, going back to verse 10. He's a common man who brought an unwelcomed message from God. He's bringing a message, and it's not like the people are like, oh, this is great. We've waited for this message. This is great. I love this message. The reaction is quite different. In fact, the message is hated. The messenger is hated. Notice this in verse 10, Amos 7:10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. So this is the big guy in charge of all this pagan worship. What's going on? Now, this has been going on for a long time, 150, 170 years. Things are established in their pagan worship. Don't rock the boat. Don't kick the beehive. Have you ever kicked a beehive? You know what? I'll tell you this. One time, Hannah and I were wandering around in a creek. And this is due to her, because I just look at creeks and then run. And she just likes to observe. So we were down there looking at everything. There was this big hive. And I'm like, I'm going to throw a stick at it. She said, no, don't do that. Probably better that we didn't. We didn't, but I always wondered what would have happened if we would have. Here is an organized religion. We say, well, don't rock the boat. Don't mess with the beehive. Leave it alone. Folks, do you know what's going to happen when you bring God's message to a world that is comfortable in their sin? Do you know what's going to happen when you come and say to them, you know what, that's not the way to live. That's not the way to life. You're a sinner. They're not going to appreciate the message. They're not going to open their arms and say, oh, yes. I mean, there will be a few who God is working in and drawing them to himself. But for the most part, you're going to have a message that's not going to be welcome. And here comes Amos. Here is this priest from Bethel. He sends a complaint to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Now, this is not the first Jeroboam. This is the second Jeroboam. He's going to reign for 41 years. He's going to be during this time period. He sends this complaint saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said. Now remember, Amos several times has said, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And now the priest is saying, hey, guess what Amos has said? He isn't saying, hey, guess what God has said? But here is the message that's sent to Jeroboam. Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. So then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. there eat bread, and there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is his royal residence. Amos, you are not welcome here. Your message is not welcome here. You get out of here. Slander against the messenger of God, banishment against the messenger of God. This is what is going to happen when we go and give the message. The world's not going to love us. The world's going to hate us like the world hated Christ. That doesn't mean we stop. And in fact, Amos, we read these verses already. But look, verses 14. He says to Amaziah, what does he say? Does he say, oh, okay, you're right, I'll leave. He says, no, I was no prophet. I was not a son. I was a sheep. The Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Listen, you false priests. These are not my words. These are God's words, and you better listen to them. And I won't be hindered by your meaningless threats. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout out a spout against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city, your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, your land shall be divided by surveyor line, you shall die in a defiled field, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. Wow, that's radical. Amos brought, this is just a common man. Brought an unwelcome message from God. In this world, we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. This world is not our home. We are citizens of heaven, and we've been commissioned by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to call out to the world to be reconciled to God, to share the message of Jesus Christ. We're just pilgrims. We're sojourners. We share our message, and then God calls us home. Be obedient. Share the message. Who am I? I think Moses said that, didn't he? Who am I? I'm just a common person. But they're not going to like the message. They may kick me out of the family. They may not invite me to the parties. I may not be in the circle anymore. Are we concerned about the approval of man or the approval of God? What does God call us to do? Will we say like Samuel, here am I, send me? Here's the question I want to leave you with. The very last slide here. Will you be the common Christian obeying the command of God to bring a life-giving message to a hostile world? Will you be that Christian? Will you? Will you? That's the kind of Christian that the world needs. Will you be that kind of Christian? Let's stand together in a closing word of prayer. Oh, Father, we realize that this world does not love you. We realize that our country does not love you. I'm thankful for the gospel witness that we have within our country, but there are so many within our country who hate you. Father, forgive us for being fearful of those who hate you. Forgive us for hiding the lights. May we be bold this morning. Even though we are common Christians, even though we may not have special gifts and special abilities, maybe we aren't eloquent with our speech. But none of those things matter, Father, for the power doesn't lie in us, but in the gospel, in the Holy Spirit, in your word. You are the one that saves people, not us. You have called us to be faithful. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, may we obey the command to go and make disciples. Father, forgive us for cowering. Fill us with the boldness of your Spirit. May we reach out to a lost and dying generation, world that does not know Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for a renewed commitment in my own personal life, in my own personal walk, but amongst here, my brothers and sisters as well. That there would be a renewed commitment to Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel. We love you, Father. Thank you for the book of Amos, the example of Amos. May we live this out in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming to be with us this morning. The Lord bless you. And we'll look forward to you seeing you the next time we see you. If you have any questions about what we talked about this morning, please see me after the service. Thank you.